Dateline Washington, Thursday, April 2nd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the budget fight comes to a head on the House floor. We'll talk with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a member of the House Budget Committee and Financial Services Committee, about the principles being advocated by the Democrats and the alternative principles being pushed by him and his GOP colleagues. We'll talk about some of the major spending provisions called for by the president in this legislation, including his priorities in the arenas of education, as well as energy policy, including the controversial cap-and-trade program. The congressman will also share his views about President Obama essentially firing the head of General Motors and what sort of precedent that might set. We'll also get his reaction to the United States leading the charge in donating more than $1 trillion to the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in the midst of a major U.S. recession and deficit. Also in this edition, more on cap and trade. We'll talk with Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research about just how much more you'll be paying in energy bills and taxes, and also what this will do to jobs in the manufacturing sector. Plus, the Obama vision for healthcare. We'll talk about just how much taxpayers will be asked to foot the bill for this, why the initial projections for the healthcare tab are way too low, and whether rationing will become a reality here in the U.S. We'll talk with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. And the week in politics, from Obama to the budget to congressional races and more, we'll talk with John Gizzi of Human Events. All that plus Thursday's headlines are straight ahead. We begin with Congressman Garrett, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a Republican representing the Garden State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. We want to get his reaction now to the House budget debate going on the floor. Passage of the Democratic version is expected shortly. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
You've been involved with the inner workings of this debate now for a long time, Congressman, being a member of the Budget Committee. Describe the debate within the committee, if you could, and what sort of alternatives you and your Republican colleagues suggested.
Well, as you say, it was along party lines. The Democrats' main argument was that the government has not been spending enough money for the last 8 years, and so they felt they need to spend more. And they will be. They'll be spending with deficits, as people say, as far as the eyes can see, deficits of over $1 trillion, that's with a T, a year for a number of years down the road. And so that's where the Democrats stood. Republicans countered it. They say that during these tough economic times, you, A, don't want to raise taxes, which the Democrat budget does, and B, you don't want to continue the bad practices of the past, which were deficit spending and putting the United States into more debt, which their budget does. So we came up with some proposals. But the bottom line was every one of our amendments or suggestions was defeated by the other side.
What was the thrust of your floor speech today? You mentioned several different reasons why you believe the Democratic version is harmful to our economy and our long-term future. What did you focus on in your comments to your colleagues?
Well, one was on the area of jobs. The Republican proposal has been analyzed by outside experts and groups and says it would actually create more jobs than the Democrat budget. It would spend more. Our budget would spend less money, borrow less money, and tax less money, but create 2.1 million more jobs than the Democrat budget. And the specific area I focused on was small business and the fact that the Democrats' budget would zero in on them and raise taxes on small business and basically go right where around two-thirds of the jobs that are created by small business will see a tax increase under the Democrat budgets. And that's where I focused.
Looking at some of the statements by Democratic leaders, I noticed the comments made by your Budget Committee Chairman, John Spratt, Democrat of South Carolina, following the final vote on the Democratic budget. And in explaining the deficits that were coming, there was no mention of Obama, but a lot of mention of President Bush, saying that these were inherited deficits and a problem that Democrats will be trying to solve in the years ahead here. What do you make of the explanation that it's the Bush years that are the biggest reason we're looking at this much red ink?
Well, the irony is that it was Chairman Spratt, Democrat chairman for the last 2 years in Congress. He was the chairman of the Budget Committee. So he was the one that helped craft and pass through the very same budgets that they are now claiming are the problem. So since 2006, when the Democrats took control of the House and the Senate, they actually were in charge of writing the budget and passing it through the House. If they didn't like it, they could have stopped it or done something else. So the problems that they say they inherited, well, I guess you could say they sort of inherited from themselves. And of course, then Senator Obama was in the Senate, and I believe he supported those budgets when he was there. So he basically inherited whatever problems he's claiming from votes that he took in support of past budgets over the last couple of years.
We're talking with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a member of the House Budget Committee. And Congressman, we've heard a lot about some of the components of this bill, at least the money that would be allocated for it. Debates may still be coming on policy issues like health care, like cap and trade, like education. Which one of those, if any, concern you the most?
Oh, they all are important. I think the last one you raised is the cap and trade, or as many experts call it, cap and tax, because that's a tax on everyone. Doesn't matter whether you're Bill Gates or someone who just got a pink slip and got laid off from work. You're all going to see your taxes go up in the form of higher costs of things that you buy at the store, your energy taxes, because the things you buy at the store have energy in them. All those things are going to see your taxes go up. And whether you're listening to that one study that was done by an outside expert that said it was $3,000 a year tax, or by the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, who projects it's around, I think it was around $1,600, if I'm not mistaken, increase in taxes on you. Either way, an extra $1,600 out of your pocket in the form of a higher cost of living and the cost of taxes is something that most people just can't afford during these times.
Congressman, elaborate a little bit on what you see as the education plans through this budget. We've heard a lot about government becoming more intrusive into health care, and you obviously articulated well what you see happening with the president's energy policy. What's the vision on education, and what should we be ready for if, in fact, they get what they want?
Well, again, here is an irony that while they were in the minority, they were claiming that the federal government under Bush and No Child Left Behind was becoming too intrusive at the federal level and what teachers wanted to do and what have you. This budget will just exacerbate that if it was true, and go even further. That is to say that the federal government will take a commanding presence in the area of education like it never has before, in so much the same way as you reference health as well. Just as in health, where they want to interject the government between the doctor and the patient, so too now do they want to interject the federal government, Washington bureaucrats, between the student and teacher and the parent. Instead of trying to roll these things back, they're just creating more government jobs, more government intervention, and at the end of the day, probably very little in the way of improving the educational quality for our kids.
A couple minutes left here with Congressman Scott Garrett of New Jersey. And Congressman, I want to get your thoughts on a couple other issues, one of which I know has come before your other committee, the Financial Services Committee, and the president addressed this in a big way on Monday, and that's tinkering with the big three, basically asking the head of General Motors to resign, possibly making some changes on their board, and then suggesting that his government will be working quite closely for their reorganization plan over the next 60 days. Is that an appropriate move, given that taxpayer dollars are at work here, or should American taxpayers be troubled by that much government intervention?
Well, I think that we are going through amazingly profound times now with this administration, how they are exerting the influence and power of the federal government and the bureaucracy down here in Washington and in areas that the Founding Fathers, the Constitution, and most Americans would never have thought we could go that far, to say that one man, the President of the United States, can now start dictating who should be the president of this company or who the CEO of that company or so on. If they can do it at that most highest level, then I presume there's no limitation just how far down the chain in command it can be as to whether you or I can have have some sort of a question on the jobs that we have if the president can make these shots.
Another issue, of course, is the president's trip to London right now. Today was the G20 summit, and he wanted some international commitment to stimulus spending, which did not happen, but he did get a consensus on another price tag of over $1 trillion towards the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, the effort to assist developing nations. That's not all of our money this time, but I'm sure we're a senior partner in this effort. What do you make of that commitment at this time?
Well, clearly there are problems going on around the world, not just here in the United States and in Europe, but in the third world nations and the problem areas, which is something that we should be concerned about. But on the same hand, we have to be concerned exactly how are we going to pay for all these commitments that this administration is going to make. Obviously, the way we're going to pay for this extravagant budget that's coming out of Congress today is by borrowing the money, maybe from China or other countries. How we meet the commitments that he's now making over there, I presume, comes the same way, borrowing the money from other nations, some friendly, others not so friendly, which obviously puts our country at risk to the pressures that they can exert in the future.
Congressman, just a couple minutes left here. Number one, obviously, once the House passes the budget here in a couple hours, which is assumed that it will happen, it goes to the Senate. We're not sure yet whether this will have a full debate and therefore have a filibuster option for the minority. What's your sense of what's going to happen there, and how significant is it if the Democrats don't allow debate?
Well, if the Democrats don't allow debate, then they will just be continuing with the course of conduct they've had since this administration began. I know this administration campaigned on bipartisanship and being a postpartisan president and administration, but we do know that since the beginning of this term, both in the House and the Senate, it's been anything but that, where Republicans, which means half of America, since we represent just about half of America, have been excluded from the process and the debate, both in committee and on the floor and in the conference, which means that it's a one-party control, and the other party does not even have a say to any degree. So if they stay true to form, they have been for the last several months, we can anticipate the same in the Senate.
And finally, assuming the budget passes both chambers and is signed by the president, is that basically meaning we're going to see the reforms we've been talking about here, or will the massive policy debates yet to come really be the battleground?
Well, the budget, of course, is just a frame of reference for where they want to go. So the issue, such for example, of the cap and tax or cap and trade that we've already talked about, is outlined here, but not in complete detail. Those battles will come down the road when legislation, specifically putting it all into place, will occur.
Congressman, we'll check back in with you then for sure. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Congressman Scott Garrett represents New Jersey's 5th Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Budget and Financial Services Committees. This is Dateline Washington.